This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again to Jesse Agler, who now has to work the word
sprint.
Sprint. Into tonight's broadcast.
I sprained it. How's your knee? I sprained it.
Dylan Cease.
Dylan
making the Rockies offense look like sprint tonight.
Yes, that's
at least
what I
want. What we hope. That's why you have a Dylan Cease in your rotation. Yeah, you can all. Every team is going to lose tough games. But when you have a guy who comes in and really gives the team no hope in the next game, that's what you're looking for. And by the way, the Rockies won five in a row.
Terrible.
Terrible. Not just at the Padres' expense. They were fresh off sweeping the Texas Rangers.
Bruce Bochy, manager of the Texas Rangers.
They have a longer winning streak than any of the Padres own this
Correct.
Season.
Correct. Five games. What's our
Four.
Most? Four. Man. Another box I would like to check. At some point.
They checked four. Now you want to check five?
I'd like to check 14, 17.
Nice. That would be really nice. But, the Rockies, who hadn't won back-to-back games before at any point this season, before their five-game winning streak, had not won a single series until they swept the Rangers, now have two chances to take a series from the San Diego Padres. They do that? Yeah, we're very disappointed. The Padres come back and win the next two, win a fifth series in a row. I think you have to minimize your disappointment at losing one game. So they got Dylan Cease and Michael King.
Let's get it, man.
On the mound, both coming off phenomenal starts their last time out. Can they back it up with another start today? Well, for Dylan Cease, it'll be a few starts in a row that have been excellent. For Michael King, looking for two in a row. That's the rest of the series. Tonight, tomorrow afternoon.
What is tonight?
Tonight and tomorrow afternoon. I was going to say today.
Today,
I switched
tonight.
It to tonight.
It works.
At the last
second. Instead of evening, you can say tonight.
Tonight.
It's a beautiful
it's right
tonight,
between
Mike.
Today and tonight.
It's beautiful tonight.
And then the Padres have to go to Atlanta for a four-game series against
yes!
the Braves.
Woo!
Friday to Monday. By the way,
we're
very excited about next week on the Ben and Woods program.
Monday. Next week's a big one for us.
You know when, remember in school when you had the teacher-parent conferences and you had minimum day weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of feels like next week is the Ben and Woods minimum day week.
It is like that year at the end of school when you walk into your classroom and the giant TV is on that giant steel roller.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, what are we watching today? Old
Subs
Yeller?
In, we're watching a movie.
The best
is the Monday game against the Braves. The series finale is like a 9-10 start or something really early with like an 8-10 Sammy pregame show. So we got a half day on Monday.
I may get hammered on Sunday night. We have such a short show.
We then
9:20 first pitch, 8:20 pregame.
Show.
We're off at like 8:15.
So come on,
half show, and then Thursday is also an early start. On the road,
10-10
in Cincinnati,
9:10 pregame.
So that's a
three-quarter
show that day as well. So we'll have two short days on the Ben and Woods program.
Not to mention the four-day weekend we're taking next weekend as well.
We're also off on Friday next week.
We clearly need it this morning, as Ben is getting mad at the chat. I'm having anxiety attacks on the air. It's clearly time for a breather. I'm going to go to the desert, actually, and go to Joshua Treacy, our buddy Jack, and lose myself and find myself. Isn't that weird how you do that? At the same time.
Speaking of a little breather, that's what Ben and Woods consider the Rindel Report to be, a little breather for us while Paulie takes over for the next few minutes.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindel Report,
with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Good morning, my friends.
Please bring something funny, Paul.
I will. It's the Reindel Report, brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com for more information.
Zach wants to know, is there Reindel Report merch? No, but there should be. Absolutely a Reindel Report shirt. Can you punch that up?
I could. I made one. My wife wanted
one. Your wife
one.
Has one. She has one of one.
One of one.
You know, they do that
it's
now.
It's going to diminish the value of it, though, if you create more.
But I like the idea of a Reindel Report.
It's like a rare baseball card right now.
I also, not to be an egomaniac, if you beat me and take on Woods, I think you should have a shirt that says, I took on Woods.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I took on Woods and lost, and all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
I took on Woods and won, and all I got was a stupid t-shirt.
Anybody that's ever called in, yeah.
Romy back in the day used to give away the cotton when you'd win a prize. You'd win a t-shirt.
T-shirt.
The cotton.
The cotton. Mm-hmm. I like it. All right, get those up in the store, Paul.
I'll see what I can do.
We need the budget. So,
let's start off college hoops, NIL. This was a big story from a couple of days ago. I think it came official yesterday. We did not get to it. Great Osabor from Utah State. He was a thorn in the Aztec side all year.
Pretty much everybody in the Mountain West
all season long. He was a very good player, and he entered the transfer portal, and he has committed to the University of Washington. He's going to be a Husky, Mountain West Conference Player of the Year, leaving for, where are they, the Big 12 now?
Are they the
Big Ten, yeah.
He's going to be in the Big Ten with Washington, and right now it's saying that he has taken a $2 million NIL deal, which is the highest known NIL deal that has at least been publicly announced.
Maybe there's been bigger ones that we don't know about, but this is the biggest one on record.
That is a lot of scratch.
It is.
No kidding.
For one season, for a really great player, and trying to make a splash. Now, he's very loyal to this coach because Danny Sprinkle, he was at Montana State, and he followed Danny Sprinkle, the coach from Montana State, to Utah State.
And now
he's following him from Utah State to Washington, plus the benefit of, $2 million as well.
That's a lot of cash. Good for him, man. That's a lot of dough for a young man.
I have, I like NIL, but I don't like NIL. Is that weird?
You're doing the thing that you feel.
I want players to be able to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. That's what NIL stands for. Name, image, and likeness. Players should be able to take advantage of it. I hate that schools now seem like they have to set up these deals in advance to like get them to transfer. I was all in favor of that. You go to a college, you're a star player, you should be able to make a lot of money on like new endorsements and ads and everything.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it should be treated like free agency where the schools now have to set up competing offers against each other to try to entice players to leave one school to go to another school. That's not what it was supposed to be, was it? It was supposed to be, don't stop these guys from making money while they're in college when, video games and local car dealerships and all, they'll pay them some money to do some real NIL work. Now it's simply like collectives and how much can we offer a player to transfer.
It's free agency, essentially.
With unlimited transfers. And
well, I heard Braden say this yesterday, and this makes sense when he said, imagine Fernando Tatis Jr. just saying, all right, I'm going to the Yankees because they're going to pay me more than you guys are. No contracts anymore. And I think, this is a bit of, I don't want to say a loophole because this is how it was created, but this is a feature of NIL is now you are essentially a mercenary. And if you have a really good season at a middling school, Utah State, a good program and a good year. That being said, if you have the opportunity to go somewhere else and make more money, we can all do that in our jobs. People can do that in their jobs. Athletes are always different because there's some sort of contract involved. I don't know how you fix it. It's
It's not going to make me root for my favorite team less, though. You know what I mean? I hate to lose great players, just like I do in free agency or trades or whatever.
Aztecs have lost a few.
Aztecs have lost a few. They've gained a few, you know? So I it's still going to make me root for my favorite teams. Yeah. It's going to make me lament it a little bit more, but I'm still going to be there, you know? I mean, the Irish have lost players to schools for years, and they've gotten good players. So they're going to give me my 9-10 wins, and I'm going to be out. I'm going to be happy. But I can understand why it's a bit confusing for people.
Well, Washington has literally acquired a great basketball player.
This is maybe your worst one.
I'm reading that. Yes. Yes. I'm reading here on ESPN, you know, he came over here from England, and he says, I was not a highly recruited player coming out of England with only a few Division I offers. He went to Montana State, then Utah State, now Washington. But when you read from ESPN here, and it says, Osabor, whose father is a taxi driver and mother is a caregiver for elderly clients, will have the opportunity to make life-altering money in his final year of college eligibility, despite arriving in the United States with very little fanfare and spending his first two seasons coming off the bench in the Big Sky Conference. That guy's getting paid for turning his college career around and shining in his last year this past season. Fine by me, man. Fine by me.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks if you're a Utah State fan, but like other than that, it's all right.
Yeah.
They will do something to, I believe, tamp this down because, well, that's what the NCAA does.
Yeah, as part of the settlement in the antitrust case where there's going to be some revenue sharing, which is good also for athletes, but there has to be some sort of guardrails on NIL. And Adam in the chat points out there are NIL regulations. There are, but they're so easy to essentially manipulate, work around. Yeah. That it's just turned into basically free agency now in college sports.
All right, we'll move on. We'll keep it in hoops here. We have talked about it quite a bit over the last few months. Women's basketball, it was Caitlin Clark and the college game and the WNBA. They've been making a lot of strides. We talked about them chartering flights for all of their teams. Saw a fun video of one of the teams. I think
it was
Indiana
it
Fever.
Was. Yeah, it and, was Caitlin's team.
You know, these girls are like, wait, we don't have to fly Delta anymore.
Yeah.
You know, gate C, we can fly charter now. And they were hyped. But the WNBA announced this morning that they have announced their newest team, the 13th team in the league. It's going to be the Golden State Valkyries. They will start play next season, and they're going to play at the Chase Center where the Warriors play. So the league has had some success here in recent years, and they're going to capitalize on that popularity. They are expanding now to 13 teams.
I had not seen that. I mean, the
Valkyries is
NWSL has expanded to 14. So women's sports are in a period of extreme growth right now.
Yep.
Popularity. You had the women's NCAA final outdraw on television. The men's final this year. This is pretty much the pinnacle so far of women's sports right now. They're doing great. They're killing it.
And finally, reading from Fortune.com here. Now, the three of us, we are all married men. Do you guys ever
sit back? Fantasize? Oh, no.
No.
Oh.
What?
No. I thought you were going somewhere else.
No. Of course not. Do you ever sit back and look around and maybe you're on social media?
I immediately laughs at my own jokes here. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Sitting around and looking at how the world is these days and go, thank God I don't have to deal with the dating apps these days.
Yeah.
Like, are you glad you don't have to go back out and date?
I never did. I never had to deal with the dating apps because I never used them. I did it the old-fashioned way. I earned it.
All right, E.F. Hutton.
E.F. Hutton. E.F. Woods. Never once.
Have you ever thought about what your life would look like if you had to go back into the dating world?
Horrible. It would be terrible. I would be awful at it.
Well, one of those apps, Bumble. Now, Bumble, if I remember correctly, it's been several years. That's the one where the women get to make the first move. You can both
like each other,
but the woman has to reach out first, I believe.
Okay.
So Bumble is, like most dating apps these days, is incorporating, you guessed it, AI into their app. And they're coming out with a dating concierge, an AI concierge that will basically filter through all of your potential matches and get through all of the small talk. And you can check in with your dating concierge, they will tell you, hey, we've done all of the work. This is definitely somebody you should probably go grab coffee with.
You've already made a nice connection with this person, with your likes and dislikes and interests while you weren't even paying attention. So now you're moving right on to the next stage.
What is that? Take your clothes off? I mean, like, the small talk is where your money, that's how you make your money right there. Like,
that's being replaced, Woods. Your EF Hutton earning it, you can do it with AI now.
I don't want it. I don't feel like I earned
it. Skip everything.
Might as well just go see a professional then and plunk down $200 or however much it costs and go to town.
Like New York Post says, Bumble wants their AI dating concierge to do the dating for you.
Mm. I feel like you'd figure out you were talking to an AI and not a real person. Can't you tell?
That's not it, though. The concierge is just knocking out some of the crap. Small talk, and then
like the example they used here is, let's say in San Francisco, and you have 600 potential matches. You don't have to talk to all 600 people.
Right.
They're gonna scan all of those potential matches that already have something that the traits that you're looking for. They're gonna just sift through it all, and they'll give you like two or three people to go ahead and try to meet.
Well, it's like a match, an AI matchmaker.
Yeah, which is fine.
But which there are, services that still do that, matchmaking services, where they try to pair two people that they think will hit it off well.
I don't know
how much success they actually have in those things. But
I have said this before. When I was in college, I would get the Chicago Sun-Times, and it was like a...
Personals.
Well, no. I would get the Chicago Sun-Times, and I would read it on the train, because it's as far as the newspaper goes, it's shaped like a book. So it's great. So you didn't have to hold the giant thing out. So I'd read the Sun-Times, and I'd flip through it on my way to work or whatever. And I would get to the Personals app. And I would go, and I would laugh. And I would think, wow, this is creepy. These are creeps. And if I had one buddy that was like, hey, man, I can't meet anybody. I'm thinking about putting in a personal ad. I was like, it would have floored me. I would have said, you're a deviant, and you're a murderer, probably. It's so accepted now. We're talking, this is only, 25 years ago, whatever. Now it's so accepted, and I think that's great. I think, however, you can meet the love of your life.
Can you imagine putting an ad into a paper?
And waiting?
To try to meet someone with a phone number?
Your mailbox?
If you like pina coladas.
getting caught in the rain.
Yeah. If you're not into yoga and you have half a brain.
And you meet.
So that's what that song is about. It's about a personal ad in a paper.
And he meets his person he's
already
with.
He already meets his lady.
She was
taking one out, too. They were both. They just move on like it's nothing at the end.
Yeah, no big deal.
Oh, it's you. You were trying to cheat on me.
Oh, you were trying to cheat on me too.
I remember.
How sweet.
Figuring out what that song really was about.
Because like
you heard it.
The light bulb goes
on. I was younger than you guys. Like, I heard the whole, my whole life. If you like pina colada. And then to, have somebody tell me, you know what that song's really about? You're like, Wait. You go back and listen, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I've heard massive success stories on the dating apps. I've also heard some massive horror stories too. It's like anything now.
So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad.
I know. That's
what that song is about.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Good job as always. All right, we'll come back. Look ahead. We got two more games of this Rocky series. Now I'm starting to dread them. Only bad things can happen from this point out, it feels like.
Oh, that Charlie Blackman home run's coming, right?
I hope not. I really do hope not. It's coming up next after traffic here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just listen to the words. Sorry for those in the chat. He just compared his wife or his lady to a worn-out recording of his favorite song.
Well, it's a favorite song, but you just...
So
what's
tired
the first
of
words of this? I was tired, of,
I was
my
tired
lady.
Of my lady. We've been together too long. Like a worn-out recording.
Guess what, dude? She was feeling the same way about you.
Yeah. Hey, babe, you remind me of a worn-out recording. See how that goes.
Oh, boy.
Do you like pina coladas? Because I do. I will drink one.
Not bad. I prefer a Mai Tai.
Yeah.
For my tropical drink. It's a little heavier on the alcohol, actually, than Mai Tai.
Yeah, it is. I do like a good pina colada. I'm going to Hawaii in August. I'm going to suck down several dozen pina coladas. You get the worst hangover, though, because the rum and then the sugar. And you wake up and you're like, phew. Feel like a worn-out recording.
Have you ever done the pina colada, but they add the strawberry puree on the sides, and they call that a lava flow?
I like that.
I
like that a lot.
That's a tropical drink right there for you.
I want to be in the tropics right now, frankly.
You're going to the tropics later this year, aren't you?
See, I just said I was going to Hawaii. Yeah,
looking forward to that.
You're looking forward to me going to Hawaii.
No, you're looking forward to that.
I thought you said I'm looking forward.
No, I'm not looking
should
forward to
you. You should have a pina colada when you go to Hawaii later this summer.
You guys know I'm going to Hawaii in August. Can't wait.
I can't wait for you to go to Hawaii.
I can't wait. We also can't wait till you go. Yeah, I can't wait.
See the report last night that it's going to happen, that TNT is losing the NBA media rights to NBC. Hasn't been officially stated yet, but...
My eyes just glaze over because you brought up the NBA media rights.
Well, just if it happens, that means it's done. The Charles Barkley, Shaq...
That will suck.
Kenny,
that is a
inside the NBA.
Funny-ass show.
Because Ernie said he's not going anywhere, so even if NBC wants to hire some of those guys away, it'll never be the same again.
MLB playoff studio shows?
I have a question.
I mean, he does those already.
What's he
going to
do without
them.
The NBA?
I don't know. I'll miss him.
He's under contract, you'd be like... Guys, let me go.
I have a question for Paul, and maybe you, because I did see this in the same vein yesterday. So there were some Sunday games on Peacock, right? Baseball games and Major League Baseball. And now they're moving to Roku.
Ah, yes.
So.
Oh, boy. Don't even worry about it. Just don't plan on watching it.
What is a Roku?
I have a Roku.
Yeah, okay, is it like a Fire Stick?
Yeah. Yes.
So I got to go buy another MFing.
It's like $20. It's fine.
Do you know how many things that I subscribe to that are like $20? It's fine.
The Roku
all of them.
Holds all of them.
Yeah, you load every app on
it's
there.
It's an interface.
It's actually cool because now that you have like ESPN Plus and some of the other things,
yes.
Like if you ever want to watch something that's on ESPN Plus
you have
on
to
your
log
TV,
in.
You don't. On the Roku, it's already logged in. So you just go.
You have to do it every, like all the apps, you have to log in the
one
first time.
Right.
But then once it's there, all you have to do is click on ESPN and then you just click on the game you want. It's pretty much like watching it on television now. Yeah. It turns the streaming experience into as close to your traditional cable experience as anything that I've had.
Yeah, it's not like a subscription service. It's a one-time purchase for the device.
Okay, so I have to buy three Rokus.
You don't have to have one for every television in the house, but you could.
You should, right?
That's what we have.
One for each?
Three, I think. Yeah.
Because one, you can't...
We just, sh- We just have the one for the main TV.
Well, I don't. I watch TV in my bed. I watch TV in my office. I watch TV on the couch. So I need to get a three Roku now.
And you can add Netflix and Max and Hulu and Disney Plus.
But I already have those.
Yeah, but you're not paying extra for them. You're just logging into your account.
You add the apps to the Roku.
Is it ease of use?
It is very. Once the pain of just setting it up the first time is over, it is actually very.
Is it easier than by? Oh, because I.
They have the Roku has the voice activated too.
Is it easier than me saying, open Netflix? Which
is
what I do
now. There's like a Netflix button on the remote.
You didn't even have to say anything. You just hit Netflix and it pops
up. I'm 48 years old. People going to do this, or do they have a better grasp of technology?
Have your
than
kids,
I do.
Your grandkids set it up the first time, and after that, it's pretty easy.
MLB's not doing this for them. Doing it for the younger.
They're worried about the people who have already cut the cord or never even had a cord to begin with. And how are they going to watch baseball games when they don't have cable and they don't have satellite and they're not making it available other than one Apple Plus game a week? They want baseball games to be viewed by people who are younger than 48 years old. So they're thinking, all right, most of these younger kids have a Roku in their house. Let's get a deal with Roku. So it's pretty easy for them to pop up a baseball game and they like what they see. Maybe they'll sign up for the MLB TV app or something as well. You do. They're not talking to you. Talking to younger people.
How do I do watch it? So if I want to watch Sunday games, even though I have the MLB app, I still have to get a Roku?
Just picking up one of the games that's already going to be broadcast and they're putting it on Roku, or
replacing the Peacock game, then you would have had to go get Peacock, so now you'll have to have a Roku.
Better than Peacock, I think. I'd rather have it on Roku than Peacock.
Serves more purposes.
Yeah.
If you have MLB app, you can have that on your Roku device.
You can.
Okay. Like, it's like your phone. You see how you have all the apps. Like, that's what the Roku, the home screen is just all of the different streaming apps.
So I've done this. So MLB app on the Roku. You go to it. They've got the condensed games. Like, if you happen to miss a Padres game or you want to watch a different game, hit the condensed game. You watch the whole thing in 10 minutes. They just boil it down. Pitch, 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 pitch. Big play, big play, big play. Watch an entire game in 10 minutes. Three clicks, I was already to the game. It's pretty easy. It's pretty, it's a modern technology at its best.
The incredible boomer lives this morning. I've heard about Roku for years. People like it.
You can even watch me on channel 10 via your Roku.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've got Roku streaming over-the-top service, they call it, the little devices. So you can even watch me on your Roku.
My wife is in the chat. She just spent a full hour in the 97.3 chat, which is always a mistake. Babe, would you go out and pick up three Rokus and get those set up today so that I can watch Sunday baseball at some point? Because I'm sure the Padres will be on it, right, at some point?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they will.
All right. I asked and answered, I guess. I don't feel any more confident than I did, except for the fact that I need to go buy three more Rokus.
Like $20.
Okay, $60.
All right, that's your media chat for this morning. Okay. We'll take our final timeout, come back, take a look at tonight's game, pitching matchup, and more. It is Joe Musgrove, Theo Musgrove bobblehead night tonight at Petco Park as well. So, yeah, I know it's going to be a big crowd. That is coming up next with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. A couple of other Padres notes haven't gotten to yet. Did see that Joe Musgrove throw a bullpen session yesterday. We'll see how he feels today, but whether or not that's going to be the minimum stay on the injured list and he comes back later this week, or if he's going to need a minor league rehab start or anything like that, they'll probably have a little more clarity on the subject, depending on how Joe works session, but I mean, the fact that he's throwing is a positive sign moving back toward a return. I think we were all pretty nervous when you heard triceps tendonitis and elbow inflammation a couple of weeks ago, and you're going, yeah, right, 15 days, good luck. Well, it's been about, 10, 11 days, and he's back on a mound throwing. So positive sign on his bobblehead night tonight at Petco Park. And I also thought the note yesterday was in the UT about Jurickson and Profar's switch hitting. Never really thought about the origin of his switch hitting, and Jeff Sanders had kind of an interesting note about it. So when Jurickson, if you missed it, when Jurickson was growing up in Curacao, isn't that where he's from? Yeah, Curacao. He was so good that just to make it fair, the other kids would make him switch around from his natural right-handed side to the left-handed side, just to even things out a little bit.
That's ridiculous.
That's badass.
That's so cool.
So that gave him some experience hitting. But he's a natural right-handed hitter, and he said, I was always better right-handed. Lefty was just not natural for me. But, you know, major league teams that were interested loved the thought of him as a switch hitter. So he always had to put so much work into his left-handed swing because it wasn't natural to him. And eventually he, like, practiced so little the right-handed swing that he started losing some of that, and he became a better left-handed hitter against righties than righty against lefties. And now he says, now I'm just practicing them equally. You know what? I stopped worrying about it. I'm going to give it equal time. But he said, I am jealous of players like Tatis and Machado who only have one swing to worry about. Because I've got two different swings.
He said he was talking to his kids, and he's like, you're swinging one way. And dig into that.
It's not like he's got to practice 30% more because he's a switch hitter. He says, no, I got to really have to practice just twice as much.
Twice
as hard. I have two totally separate swings. If I want to maintain my right-handed swing, I have to put as much right-handed work in as Manny or Tatis. But then I also have to do the exact same thing on the left-handed side as if I'm Jake Cronenworth or Jackson Merrill. I can't just simply practice half and half. Then I'm just half practicing both of my swings.
So awesome.
He's like, I have to put in so much work as a switch hitter compared to normal players.
Yeah, they get their rounds. Yeah. It's like, see you later, dog. And he's out there working on the other side. Forget it. Seems like a lot of work.
But it's working for him, obviously, this season as well as it has at any point in his career. And it's not a bad career. Jurickson Profar has 10 years as a big leaguer. Has he ever been a superstar? No. But to have the production, the longevity that Jurickson has had, I am really happy for him to get a moment in the sun, in the spotlight this year, to really shine and be the best version of the player that he's really ever been. I think, what's his career? Like 20 home runs, did that with the A's a few years ago. He's had some decent years with the Rangers. Padres stuff has been really good when he's been in San Diego, but nothing like this with a 320 average and hitting for power from both sides of the plate. He's pretty much even on both sides of the plate power-wise this year. Most switch hitters either have like a power side and kind of a single side. Jurickson's kind of doing it on both sides in many different ways this year. It's really impressive to see.
Yeah, that's cool, man. He's been a godsend for this team, no doubt. I shudder to think about where we would be without his start, Jake's start, Dylan Cease in the rotation. I mean, it's a perilous nightmare to think about.
But by the way, Jurickson, Jake, none of them had hits last night. None of them.
Jurickson had a hit. Hit a home run.
Oh, anyway, so you're
pretty
right.
Big hit.
He did have the one big hit. That's right.
The top four.
It was the top four, top not four. The top five. Yes. The top four top had four. No hits in the lineup yesterday. And by the way, no hits with runners in scoring position for three straight games for the Padres.
And they
as well. 0 for 6 all three games.
It's been the long ball. You know, which are they getting away from what had been successful for them? When they beat the Cubs.
You're hitting too many home runs.
You're hitting too many home runs, guys. Get back to slapping singles around the yard.
I doubt that's the problem.
I doubt it is, too.
But it is different than what we saw a little bit earlier in the season. Yep. They have been more reliant on the long ball the last couple of games, and they have dropped two of their last three, just to be technical about it. All right, let's check traffic one last time, and we'll talk about tonight's pitching matchup before we go, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. I just can't get my head out of the chat this morning. I just can't.
Ben
commented, different Ben. He says, this team is not worth believing in.
All right.
What does that mean exactly?
I don't know. He'll be here tomorrow. He's going to watch.
Do I believe that they're the favorites to win the World Series? I do not. Do I believe that they are kind of what I thought they would be when we started the season? Hopefully a team that can play at or a little above 500 and maybe make the playoffs at the end of the year. Yes, and nothing that they've done so far has done anything but strengthen my belief in what I thought the team was at the beginning of the year. A team that could probably play a few games above 500 and has enough talent that if they get hot in October, maybe they make some sort of run. They're not favorites. They've got flaws and holes, and that we've seen those. They also have some strengths and talent, and we've seen that. I don't know that I believe in them any less or more than I did at the start of the season.
Look, man, it's like I tell parents. Baseball's not for everyone. It's not. It's not. And it's taken me a long time to be able to ride the wave a little bit better.
also therapy, intensive therapy, expensive intensive therapy. It's not for everyone. It's not.
Ben says, I know we may have fun. I know they will fall apart. Okay. I don't know that.
I don't know that either. Neither does Ben.
I don't feel like there's not like the warning signs like this team is getting by, but eventually they're going to fall apart. I think this is what they are.
They're going to win some games in a row. They're going to lose a couple games. I've enjoyed this season. I have way more than last.
I've been a slightly pleasantly surprised, maybe not by the record, but in terms of what I've seen on the field for the most part, I've seen less signs than I was more concerned last year at some of the signs than this year.
Yes, 100%. Last year was awful. Awful. Huh. All right, just don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Stop. Dylan Cease tonight has been fantastic. Just what the Padres were hoping for when they picked him up at the beginning of the season. And he'll be going up against old friend alert, Cal Quantrill, making the start for the Colorado Rockies. Padres missed him, I think, in the four games when they were at Coors Field, correct?
Was he hurt?
I don't know if he was hurt. I think they it was the day before and the day after. The one guy that they didn't actually have to face. They did face him when he was with the Guardians, though, I believe, in interleague play in the past. So it's not the first time they faced Cal Quantrill, but will be old friend alert, former Padres prospect and young player Cal Quantrill going up against Dylan Cease, and the Padres will be looking for another stopper type effort, which they have mostly gotten from Dylan Cease. The one thing he has been so consistent at, doesn't give up many hits. One, two, three, four max. Can he continue that tonight against the Colorado Rockies? Keep it in the strike zone like he has the last couple of starts. This should be a team that, you know, if you just score a few runs, you'll be in good shape tonight with Dylan Cease on the mound. Of course, it's baseball, and Dylan's had a bad start. It can happen to anyone. You just hope it doesn't come tonight because they want to get this chance to win the game and win the series tomorrow.
Got Cal Quantrill on the bump. Old friend alert. Miss Cal Quantrill. Always really liked him. And right now, Benny, he is 2-3 with the Rockies. But his ERA is under 4. It's 3.94. He's got 8 starts under his belt. Doesn't strike out a ton of guys. He gets a ton of ground balls. He's a ground ball pitcher. Let me introduce you to the San Diego Padres, Cal. I know his attack tonight is going to be, as it always is, throwing a bunch of sinkers. And that's what he does. He throws a sinker, he throws a split, he throws a cutter, throws a curveball and a changeup. But he is going to pound the sinker in on your hands. He's going to throw probably the curveball away. He uses it very little. But he's a sinker and split guy, which, by the way, has me in fits already based on how we have handled those guys so far. So you know what you're going to get. He's about 93 miles an hour, 94 miles an hour tops, Benny. It's not overpowering, but if he's moving the sinker and
neither is Dakota Hudson
and he's landing the split finger, could be a struggle for the San Diego Padres again. So, you know, listen, Dylan Cease is the one thing that gives me a lot of confidence going into tonight, and also getting to the Rockies bullpen again. Like Jesse said earlier, you want those opportunities. You didn't come through last night at all, and that sucked. And you feel like you probably should have won that game. Not probably. You should have won that game. They gave you plenty of chances to do it. Get back into that bullpen today, you know, and take your chances again.
Just to be clear, I don't expect any big changes in the lineup tonight.
I don't either.
Might even be the exact same lineup as last night. Not sure if Campy is going to probably get the day off tomorrow, day game after the night game, but very, very possible that we'll see a very similar lineup tonight as we did last night. So I don't think the panic button is going to be hit. If you listen to Mike Schilt, he may not even have a panic button. Guy seems to have less of that knee-jerk reaction than just about anybody. Obviously, managers and coaches have less than us as fans. Mike Schilt seems to have even less than maybe your average manager and coach.
Yeah,
when
at least publicly, sure.
Like reacting. Publicly, for sure.
Yeah, publicly, 100%.
I mean, privately, though, I promise you, he didn't go and say anything to Manny after the game, like, hey,
would have liked to have seen.
I promise that there's no chance that a conversation took place other than, no, you know, hey, good swing. You know, we'll get him next time. Yep. You know, that rough luck on that one, but loved having you up there in that circumstance. There was no, like, public support and then private airing out of any of his players last night.
No, I fully agree. And, you know, I like when he gets a little bit pissy after the game, too. I like that a lot. But, hey, listen, you know, you got to get the job done, man. At the end of the day, the Colorado Rockies have beaten you more times than you've beaten them this season. That was such a key
to this season that we talked about before game one. I mean, before game one, not even knowing what they're running out there, not even knowing if they're going to come together like the A's have come together and won a bunch of ball games. You have to beat up on the Rockies. They don't have the guns that you do. You've got more guns.
You beat up on the Dodgers more than you beat up on the Rockies.
That's the most staggering part of all of it, is you've beaten up. The Dodgers are a better matchup.
Just shows what we all know. Like, hey, just try not to get clobbered by the Dodgers and then win, you know, most of your games against the Rockies. Well, they've been beating up the Dodgers, and they have a losing record against the Rockies.
Diesel says it's going to be 0-0 in the seventh. I could absolutely 1,000% see that happening. I'm not even kidding when you say that.
Oh, boy. And then what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's game's a day game, correct? So that'll be the early start.
Yep, we're going to go down after the show.
Yep.
Excited about that. I'll go down and I'll teach these guys what, you know.
Shake some cages.
Shake some cages. Rattle some cages down there.
We'll let maybe we'll bring Steve's bunting plan down for everybody.
Will you? Actually, here's what you need to do.
Tomorrow we got Michael King versus Austin Gomber.
So take that plan down to Kinko's today. Get it laminated and many
made
copies
up for everybody.
And say, here.
Coaching staff for sure. Maybe some key players just so they can reinforce the message.
I mean, the chat's
bunting practice.
The chat's now turning into Peter Seidler hate. So I'm going to X out of the chat, and I'm going to leave that where it sits.
Why would anybody be mad at Peter Seidler?
What did he do?
It doesn't. At this point, it's not worth the oxygen, gentlemen. Everyone take a breather. Take a breath. You know you're all going to be watching today. You said it was inexcusable. It's not. You're going to be watching today. You're going to be rooting for Manny. You're going to be rooting for Tatis. You're going to be rooting for Crony. That's it. That's how we do it. And we'll talk through it tomorrow together as we did today. Thanks for being there for me, fellas. First and hopefully last anxiety attack, panic attack on the air. Hope that's the last thing that happens.
Nothing I did, right?
No.
Okay,
no. Take great solace, and you had nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. It just happens sometimes.
Mental health chat, very important. And again,
very. It's mental health awareness.
Appreciate
month.
You being very open and honest about it with everybody.
Well, I mean,
I think that helps everybody to hear that we all go through it at times.
100%. Me more than most. So.
All right. Annie and Elstner standing by. That is it for us today. We will talk to you tomorrow before the early baseball game at Petco Park, hopefully going for a series win. Good luck to Dylan Cease and the Padres in Game 2 of the series tonight. Great job, as always, by our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. A couple of other Padres notes haven't gotten to yet. Did see that Joe Musgrove throw a bullpen session yesterday. We'll see how he feels today, but whether or not that's going to be the minimum stay on the injured list and he comes back later this week, or if he's going to need a minor league rehab start or anything like that, they'll probably have a little more clarity on the subject, depending on how Joe recession. But, I mean, the fact that he's throwing is a positive sign moving back toward a return. I think we were all pretty nervous when you heard triceps tendonitis and elbow inflammation a couple of weeks ago, and you're going, yeah, right, 15 days, good luck. Well, it's been about, 10, 11 days, and he's back on a mound throwing. So positive sign on his bobblehead night tonight at Petco Park. And I also thought the note yesterday was in the UT about Jurickson and Profar's switch hitting. Never really thought about the origin of his switch hitting, and Jeff Sanders had kind of an interesting note about it. So when Jurickson, if you missed it, when Jurickson was growing up in Curacao, isn't that where he's from?
Yeah.
Curacao. He was so good that just to make it fair, the other kids would make him switch around from his natural right-handed side to the left-handed side just to even things out a little bit.
That's ridiculous.
That's badass.
That's so cool.
So that gave him some experience hitting. But he's a natural right-handed hitter. And he said, and I was always better right-handed. Lefty was just not natural for me. But, you know, major league teams that were interested loved the thought of him as a switch hitter. So he always had to put so much work into his left-handed swing because it wasn't natural to him. And eventually he practiced so little the right-handed swing that he started losing some of that, and he became a better left-handed hitter against righties than righty against lefties. And now he says, Now I'm just practicing them equally. You know what? I stopped worrying about it. I'm going to give equal time. But he said, I am jealous of players like Tatis and Machado who only have one swing to worry about.
Told his...
Because I've got two different swings.
He said he was talking to his kids. And he's like, you're swinging one way. And you're whatever way that is, get it. You know, dig into that.
It's not. It's not like he's got to practice 30% more because he's a switch hitter. He says no. I got to really have to practice just twice as much.
Twice as
hard. I have two totally separate swings. If I want to maintain my right-handed swing, I have to put as much right-handed work in as Manny or Tatis. But then I also have to do the exact same thing on the left-handed side as if I'm Jake Cronenworth or Jackson Merrill. I can't just simply practice half and half. Then I'm just half practicing both of my swings. So
awesome.
He's like, I have to put in so much work as a switch hitter compared to normal players.
Yeah, they get their rounds. Yeah. It's like, see you later, dog. And he's out there working on the other side. Forget it. Seems like a lot of work.
But it's working for him, obviously, this season as well as it has at any point in his career. And it's not a bad career. Jurickson Profar has 10 years as a big leaguer. Has he ever been a superstar? No. But to have the production, the longevity that Jurickson has had, I am really happy for him to get a moment in the sun, in the spotlight this year, to really shine and be the best version of the player that he's really ever been. I think, what's his career high? Like 20 home runs, did that with the A's a few years ago. You know, he's had some decent years with the Rangers. Padres stuff has been really good when he's been in San Diego, but nothing like this with a .320 average and hitting for power from both sides of the plate. He's pretty much even on both sides of the plate power-wise this year. Most switch hitters either have like a power side and kind of a single side. Jurickson's kind of doing it on both sides in many different ways this year. It's really impressive to see.
Yeah, that's cool, man. He's been a godsend for this team, no doubt. I shudder to think about where we would be without his start, Jake's start, Dylan Cease in the rotation. I mean, it's a perilous nightmare to think about.
But by the way, Jurickson, Jake, none of them had hits last night. None of them.
Jurickson had a hit. Hit a home run.
Oh, anyway, so you're
pretty
right.
Big hit.
He did
big
have
hit.
The one big hit. That's right.
The top four.
It was the top four, not the top five. Yes. The top four no hits in the lineup yesterday. And by the way, no hits with runners in scoring position for three straight games for the Padres.
And they
as well. 0-for-6 all three games.
It's been the long ball. You know, which are they getting away from what had been successful for them? You know, when they beat the Cubs.
You're hitting too many home runs.
You're hitting too many home runs, guys. Get back to slapping singles around the yard.
I doubt that's the problem.
I doubt it is, too.
But it is different than what we saw a little bit earlier in the season. Yep. They have been more reliant on the long ball the last couple of games, and they have dropped two of their last three, just to be technical about it. All right, let's check traffic one last time, and we'll talk about tonight's pitching matchup before we go, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. I just can't get my head out of the chat this morning. I just can't. Ben commented, different Ben. He says, this team is not worth believing in.
All right.
What does that mean exactly?
I don't know. He'll be here tomorrow. He's going to watch.
Do I believe that they're the favorites to win the World Series? I do not. Do I believe that they are kind of what I thought they would be when we started the season? Hopefully a team that can play at or a little above 500 and maybe make the playoffs at the end of the year. Yes, and nothing that they've done so far has done anything but strengthen my belief in what I thought the team was at the beginning of the year. A team that could probably play a few games above 500 and has enough talent that if they get hot in October, maybe they make some sort of run. They're not favorites. They've got flaws and holes, and that we've seen those. They also have some strengths and talent, and we've seen that. I don't know that I believe in them any less or more than I did at the start of the season.
Look, man, it's like I tell parents. Baseball's not for everyone. It's not. It's not. And it's taken me a long time to be able to ride the wave a little bit better. Also therapy. Intensive therapy. Expensive intensive therapy. It's not for everyone. It's not.
Ben says, I know we may have fun. I know they will fall apart. Okay. I don't know that.
I don't know that either. Neither does Ben.
I don't feel like there's not like the warning signs like this team is getting by, but eventually they're going to fall apart. I think this is what they are.
They're going to win some games in a row. They're going to lose a couple games. I've enjoyed this season. I have way more than last.
I've been a slightly pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Maybe not by the record, but in terms of what I've seen on the field for the most part, I've seen less signs than I was more concerned last year at some of the signs than this year.
Yes, 100%. Last year was awful. Awful. Huh. All right, just don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Dylan Cease tonight has been fantastic. Just what the Padres were hoping for when they picked him up at the beginning of the season. And he'll be going up against old friend alert, Cal Quantrill, making the start for the Colorado Rockies. Padres missed him, I think, in the four games when they were at Coors Field, correct?
Was he hurt?
I don't know if he was hurt. I think they just, it was the day before and the day after, the one guy that they didn't actually have to face. They did face him when he was with the Guardians, though, I believe, in interleague play in the past. So it's not the first time they faced Cal Quantrill, but will be old friend alert, former Padres prospect and young player Cal Quantrill going up against Dylan Cease, and the Padres will be looking for another stopper type effort, which they have mostly gotten from Dylan Cease. The one thing he has been so consistent at, doesn't give up many hits. One, two, three, four max. Can he continue that tonight against the Colorado Rockies? Keep it in the strike zone like he has the last couple of starts. This should be a team that, you know, if you just score a few runs, you'll be in good shape tonight with Dylan Cease on the mound. Of course, it's baseball, and Dylan's had a bad start. It can happen to anyone. You just hope it doesn't come tonight because they want to get this chance to win the game and win the series tomorrow.
Got Cal Quantrill on the bump. Old friend alert. Miss Cal Quantrill. Always really liked him. And right now, Benny, he is 2-3 with the Rockies, but his ERA is under 4. It's 3.94. He's got 8 starts under his belt. Doesn't strike out a ton of guys. He gets a ton of ground balls. He's a ground ball pitcher. Let me introduce you to the San Diego Padres, Cal. I know his attack tonight is going to be, as it always is, throwing a bunch of sinkers. And that's what he does. He throws a sinker, he throws a split, he throws a cutter, throws a curveball and a changeup. But he is going to pound the sinker in on your hands. He's going to throw probably the curveball away. He uses it very little. But he's a sinker and split guy, which, by the way, has me in fits already based on how we have handled those guys so far. So you know what you're going to get. He's about 93 miles an hour, 94 miles an hour tops. Benny, it's not overpowering, but if he's moving the sinker and he's,
neither is Dakota Hudson,
and he's landing the split finger, could be a struggle for the San Diego Padres again. So, you know, listen, Dylan Cease is the one thing that gives me a lot of confidence going into tonight, and also getting to the Rockies bullpen again. Like Jesse said earlier, you want those opportunities. You didn't come through last night at all, and that sucked. And you feel like you probably should have won that game. Not probably. You should have won that game. They gave you plenty of chances to do it. Get back into that bullpen today, you know, and take your chances again.
Just to be clear, I don't expect any big changes in the lineup tonight.
I don't either.
Might even be the exact same lineup as last night. Not sure if Campy is going to probably get the day off tomorrow, day game after the night game, but very, very possible that we'll see a very similar lineup tonight as we did last night. So I don't think the panic button is going to be hit. If you listen to Mike Schilt, he may not even have a panic button. Guy seems to have less of that knee-jerk reaction than just about anybody. Obviously, managers and coaches have less than us as fans. Mike Schilt seems to have even less than maybe your average manager and coach.
Yeah,
when
at least publicly, sure.
Like reacting. Publicly, for sure.
Yeah, publicly, 100%.
I mean, privately, though, I promise you, he didn't go and say anything to Manny after the game, like, hey,
would have liked to have seen.
I promise that there's no chance that a conversation took place other than, no, you know, hey, good swing. You know, we'll get him next time. Yep. You know, that rough luck on that one, but loved having you up there in that circumstance. There was no, like, public support and then private airing out of any of his players last night.
No, I fully agree. And, you know, I like when he gets a little bit pissy after the game, too. I like that a lot. But, hey, listen, you know, you got to get the job done, man. At the end of the day, the Colorado Rockies have beaten you more times than you've beaten them this season. That was such a key to this season that we talked about before game one. I mean, before game one, not even knowing what they're running out there, not even knowing if they're going to come together like the A's have come together and won a bunch of ball games. You have to beat up on the Rockies. They don't have the guns that you do. You've got more guns.
You've beat up on the Dodgers more than you beat up on the Rockies.
That's the most staggering part of all of it, is you've beaten up. The Dodgers are a better matchup.
Just shows what we all know. Like, hey, just try not to get clobbered by the Dodgers and then win, you know, most of your games against the Rockies. Well, they've been beating up the Dodgers, and they have a losing record against the Rockies.
Diesel says it's going to be 0-0 in the seventh. I could absolutely 1,000% see that happening. I'm not even kidding when you say that.
Oh, boy. And then what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's game's a day game,
day
correct?
Game.
So that'll be the early start.
Yep, we're going to go down after the show.
Yep.
Excited about that. I'll go down and I'll teach these guys what...
Shake some cages,
rattle some cages down there.
Maybe we'll bring Steve's bunting plan down for everybody.
Here's what you need to do.
Tomorrow we got Michael King versus Austin Gomber.
So take that plan down to Kinko's today. Get it laminated and
cards,
many
made
copies
up for everybody.
And say, here.
Maybe some key players just so they can reinforce the message.
I mean, the chat's...
Bunting practice.
The chat's now turning into Peter Seidler hate. So I'm going to X out of the chat, and I'm going to leave that where it sits.
Why would anybody be mad at Peter Seidler?
What did
right
he
now?
Do?
It doesn't. At this point, it's not worth the oxygen, gentlemen. Everyone take a breather, take a breath. You know you're all going to be watching today. You said it was inexcusable. It's not. You're going to be watching today. You're going to be rooting for Manny. You're going to be rooting for Tatis. You're going to be rooting for Crony. That's it. That's how we do it. And we'll talk through it tomorrow together as we did today. Thanks for being there for me, fellas. First and hopefully last anxiety attack, panic attack on the air. Hope that's the last thing that happens.
It's nothing I did, right?
No.
Okay,
No. Take great solace, and you had nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. Just happens sometimes.
Mental health chat, very important. And again,
very. It's mental health awareness.
Appreciate you being very open and honest about it with everybody.
Well,
I think that helps everybody to hear that we all go through it at times.
100%. Me more than most. So.
All right. Annie and Elston are standing by. That is it for us today. We will talk to you tomorrow before the early baseball game at Petco Park, hopefully going for a series win. Good luck to Dylan Cease and the Padres in Game 2 of the series tonight. Great job, as always, by our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.